It's 5:06. This is Central Time on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Veronica Rickert.
And I'm Rob Ferret. Coming up later in the program, we'll talk about why the mosquitoes have been so bad so early this season.
Last week, the NCAA and the U.S. Department of Defense announced a new initiative aimed at getting a better understanding of how sports-related concussions affect the brain and how to determine if an athlete is ready to return to the game.
The $30 million study will include the creation of a big database that researchers hope will offer new insight on possible links between head injuries and longer-term brain damage.
The Medical College of Wisconsin in Milwaukee will be the home base for the Advanced Research Corps. Here to talk about the initiative is Michael McCray, professor of neurosurgery and director of brain injury research at the Medical College of Wisconsin. Michael, welcome to Central Time.
Hi there. Thanks for having me.
Well, you've been at the forefront of concussion research for about two decades now. What is your number one priority as far as this new initiative and as it gets off the ground?
I think as it relates to the Advanced Research Corps for this new initiative, it takes us into entirely new space in our scientific understanding of concussion. Over the last 20 years or so, our group and other groups around the country have conducted several large-scale studies that have informed our understanding of clinical recovery time after concussion in terms of how long it typically takes for an athlete to achieve complete recovery in terms of their symptoms, their cognitive functioning, and other functional abilities after injury. And historically, we've relied on those metrics to make decisions about an athlete's fitness to return to play. The burning question, however, over the years has been more along the lines of how long does it take for recovery to occur at a brain level, physiologically and neurobiologically. And that's what the ARC, the Advanced Research Corps studies for this new initiative will undertake. We're going to be utilizing head impact sensors that tell us about the frequency and magnitude of head impacts that athletes sustain during participation. And then injured athletes will be undergoing very detailed assessments using MRI scans and blood biomarkers, genetic testing, and otherwise that will inform now the time course of physiological recovery after sport-related concussion.
And it sounds like in the past it's been hard to get a real solid read on what we were dealing with when it came to concussions. Athletes wanted to get back into the game. They might downplay the extent of their injuries. And we just weren't sure how severe concussions were. Is it important now that we get some real solid data as we go forward?
Yes, I think one of the areas of speculation for years has been to the extent to which we could rely and depend on an athlete informing us about their true level of symptom recovery, knowing that they were and are highly motivated to return to their sporting activities as soon as they possibly can. And the movement over the years has been toward more objective measures, both diagnostically in terms of detecting injury, but more importantly, more objective measures that tell us about recovery and an athlete's fitness to return to play, rather than relying solely on their self-reported symptom recovery.
And one of the things that you'll be doing is fitting helmets with sensors and non-helmeted athletes with a different kind of sensor and getting a look at the impacts and how they register. What do you expect to learn from that?
There were really two lines of investigation as it relates to the head impact sensors. As you've stated, we'll have our helmeted athletes, for instance, football players, duly equipped with both a helmet-borne system and a small adhesive sensor that they wear behind their ear, which our non-helmeted athletes will also wear. And these sensors will be worn during all practices, all games. We've been conducting this type of work for quite some time now. But it allows us to really characterize and profile, number one, the frequency and severity of impacts that athletes sustain just through routine participation in contact and collision sports, aside from concussive injuries. And then secondly, we can really gain a much better understanding of the biomechanics of impacts that cause brain injury which then have great value in future efforts toward injury prevention, equipment design, rule changes, et cetera, that would try to eliminate head impacts of that form of dynamic or magnitude in hopes of eliminating or reducing the and preventing the number of injuries that sometimes occur in sports.
Now, in the case of student athletes, you're looking at, you know, kids who might be 8 years old and athletes who might be in their 20s and 30s, but it often happens that you're looking at younger brains. Are younger brains more vulnerable to head injury than other brains?
More vulnerable, it's unclear. There have been reports in the literature that the younger brain takes longer to recover than the intermediate or older brain as it relates to sport-related concussion. But by longer, we're really talking about perhaps a period of a couple or a few days longer. You know, the important message that sometimes gets lost in the mix or the discussion and is critical to athletes and sports parents like myself is that sport-related concussion, in the overwhelming majority of cases, is followed by an uncomplicated pattern of recovery over a period of a week or so. And as long as the injury is appropriately managed and the athlete is conservatively monitored in terms of their return to play, most athletes return to participation without any bumps and have no lingering problems. That said, we still need a more evidence-based approach as to how we return athletes to participation once they have achieved a complete clinical recovery. And that's what this initiative is intended to drive at.
And as far as getting that information that you need, one of the things you're going to be doing is doing extensive neuroimaging. What do you expect to learn from that?
We have the capabilities now with advances in MRI scanning to tell us not only about changes in brain structure resulting from injury, but also brain function. So, for instance, we will be utilizing what we refer to as a multimodal MRI scanning platform that tells us not only about changes in brain structure, which are frankly, very infrequent, resulting from minor injuries like concussion. But there are significant changes in the functional ability of the brain, including, for instance, patterns of normal connectivity across brain regions and the transmission of cellular activity at a biological and a physiological level. And these new scanning modalities allow us to, in real time, in human research participants, study the dynamic changes in brain function over the course of recovery after concussion. And we'll be scanning, for instance, athletes at multiple time points post-injury and comparing those scans to those of non-injured athletes to better inform how long it takes for brain connectivity, for instance, to return to normality after injury as an indicator of recovery.
And you mentioned biomarkers as well. How does that factor in?
Yeah, we will be studying, in addition to the MRI scanning, we'll be drawing blood samples on these athletes prior to the start of the season, and then for any injured athletes and control subjects, we'll be drawing specimens again at several time points post-injury to see how some of the emerging, what we refer to as blood biomarkers, blood enzymes and other agents that are susceptible to change in light of head injury or other trauma. And similar to the MRI example, we'll be looking to find those abnormalities as a diagnostic marker of injury during the earliest acute window. We'll be drawing these athletes within hours of their injury. And then ultimately the exercise is to determine at what point do those blood biomarkers return to normal levels as an indicator of physiological recovery, much like we're doing with the MRI scanning.
We're talking right now about a new initiative announced last week, hoping to provide researchers a better understanding of the link between concussions and brain damage. Our guest is Michael McCray, professor of neurosurgery and director of brain injury research at the Medical College of Wisconsin. And we invite you to join the conversation. Have you suffered from a sports-related brain injury? Did you notice impacts on your health or brain function as a result? And what more are you hoping researchers will come away with as they get started on this new initiative? Let us know at 800-642-1234. We're talking about sports-related concussions and new initiatives aimed at understanding how they relate to brain damage. Our guest is Michael McCray, professor of neurosurgery and director of brain injury research at the Medical College of Wisconsin, where most of the core research will be taking place. And we invite you to join our conversation. Have you suffered from a sports-related brain injury? What kind of symptoms did you notice? What was the result of that brain injury? How did it resolve itself? And what do you want researchers to know if you let your child play a sport with a risk of concussion? Let us know, 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or email us at talk@wpr.org. We're going to go to our phones now and take a call from Chris in Madison. Hi, Chris.
Hey, how's it going?
Pretty good.
All right. Well, I've been playing high-impact sports, football and rugby, for the last 14 years. And I guess one of the major changes I've noticed over the last, over that time period is just the cultural changes that have come across through concussions and concussion management. When I first started playing football, it was sort of you get hit in the head and you got your bell rung, get it back out there and go, keep playing. It was kind of like playing hurt through a sprained ankle. And nowadays it's more of a, it's not worth it. You know, you got, your head's hurting, or do you have a concussion? Is it worth going back out and playing? And I hope that these type of, these studies and these initiatives, continue that trend.
All right. Interesting, Chris. So Chris has seen already some changes in the way that we treat people who may have concussions, that it's more important to take care of your health. Do you think this study and this research will further that kind of cultural shift?
No question. I think Chris raises perhaps one of the most important points that has developed from all of the research over the last 20 years. And as simple as it may sound, perhaps the most monumental public health change we made over the past decade is, at all competitive levels, it is prohibited for any athlete to return to participation on the same day as they sustain a concussion. Now, that may seem as just basic common sense and good care, but as he pointed out, that was not the culture prior to, for instance, 5 or 10 years ago, where it was quite commonplace at all competitive levels, from youth to high school, college, and professional, for athletes, some of whom were even rendered unconscious, to return to participation in the same contest on the same day. And finally, the Zurich panel that I was on in 2008 and 2012, we sent a strong recommendation that should be prohibited at all competitive levels. But I think, to Chris's point, society and sports parents and sport governing bodies are really looking to the science now for the answers to the pressing questions. But at the same time, we can't lose track of the fact that this will require a cultural shift. And some believe that the pendulum may have swung too far, and we'll eventually come back to the middle based on the science itself.
All right. Well, thank you very much for your call and your comments, Chris. And we're going to move now to Jenny in Racine. Hi, Jenny.
Hi. How are you?
Good, thanks. What do you think about concussions?
Well, I have two questions, and I only told your screener one of them. But one of them is, how does ADD or ADHD affect recovery or affect concussion? And secondly, how do concussions that occur from a car accident like I had last week, and how's the recovery process with that? I was physically active and I still have symptoms. A week later, I can't go back to exercise or activity yet. How are the recoveries different from sport versus other concussions?
Okay, Jenny, thanks for that question, and both questions actually. What do you think, Michael?
With regard to your second question, The overwhelming body of literature on concussion in civilians from car accidents and falls and other mechanisms is actually very similar to what we see in the sports literature, with the caveat that assuming that indeed it was a concussion and had no abnormal imaging on CT scanning and so forth, that the lion's share of individuals make a complete recovery within a matter of several days and then gradually return to their normal activities. Now, I think you mentioned that your injury was a week ago. There's no question that after a concussion, people feel really lousy for a few days, and then they gradually begin resuming their normal activity. You're right that you should not be out under heavy physical exertion at this point in your recovery, but it is completely realistic for you to start gradually resuming your normal physical activities. And I would predict, I don't have any knowledge of your injury, obviously, but again, the overwhelming majority of individuals make a complete recovery in a matter of several days and some upwards to a couple weeks after their injury, as long as there aren't other complicating factors. And forgive me, but your first question, remind me?
Does ADHD affect concussions and recovery?
So it's been a bit of a mixed bag in the scientific literature as to how ADHD affects one's risk and recovery. There have been some studies indicating that athletes who have a history of ADHD are at a slightly elevated risk of concussion. It's unclear as to whether or not that's because of some vulnerability physiologically to do with their condition or whether it's something about the way they play the sport, both of which are viable possibilities. But at a everyday practical level, it is good, for instance, for athletic trainers and coaches and so forth to know when young athletes have ADHD, learning disability, or any other vulnerabilities, because that's something that you want to take into consideration when you're monitoring and assessing an athlete's level of recovery and their fitness to return to participation.
All right. Thank you, Jenny, for those questions. And I want to follow up on something you said earlier, Michael. You said that some people think that the pendulum has swung too far, which I gather take to mean that some people think we're being too cautious about concussions now, that maybe there's too much alarm in the wake of lawsuits, you know, with the NFL and the NHL and worries about kids getting concussions in sports. Is that something that you're thinking about as you do this research, that maybe we've overcorrected?
Yes. In so many words, yes. There's some thought out there that the story has, for instance, raced out in front of the science. And I can tell you, for instance, in my own situation, the anthropology of this has been quite fascinating in that when I would go to a cocktail party 10 years ago and people would ask what I do, there was a lot of curiosity about, wow, I didn't realize that concussions were really worthy of research. Does it happen that often? And what's the big deal? And now the discussion has changed dramatically in that the first question those people at cocktail parties have for me is, why would anyone ever want to play contact and collision sports given the risks? And I say, well, let's let the science answer those questions, because the risks probably aren't as significant as maybe how they've been positioned in certain storylines. And I can tell you that certainly this is, in a matter of 10 short years, this has gone from not being on anybody's radar, especially sport parents, to being on everybody's radar and maybe with their antenna way up, a bit hypervigilant about the about this injury and its potential consequences. There's no question it's a very common injury in contact and collision sports, and is a serious injury that is worthy of attention. But the reality is, every kid that bumps his or her head does not necessarily end up with a concussion.
And Michael, in our last 20, 30 seconds here, if there's a student athlete or concussion patient who wants to get involved in the research, what should they do?
Well, they could certainly reach out to me and my staff here at the Medical College of Wisconsin. There is information on the Medical College of Wisconsin website about our brain injury research program. And I think that's probably the best way for anyone out there who's interested to get informed about the type of work we do here, not only with regard to sport-related concussion, but brain injury in civilians and military service members and other populations at risk.
Michael, thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
We've been talking with Michael McCrae, professor of neurosurgery and director of brain injury research at the Medical College of Wisconsin.